evening, and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content by and for queer communities in Colorado. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and we're dedicating today's show to talking about the monkeypox virus and what potential impacts the virus may have on LGBTQ communities, especially given that the Biden administration recently declared monkeypox a public health emergency in the U.S. I'm joined by fellow Outsources producer Elise Matadal for a conversation with Tori Burkett, who serves as the Epidemiology Program Manager at the Denver Department of Public Health and Environment. Tori happens to be co-workers with Elise, and as the head epidemiologist for the City and County of Denver, she has valuable insights into the monkeypox virus, as we've seen cases grow both in Colorado and nationally. Tori, thanks so much for joining us on Outsources today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So I'm curious if before we jump in, if you might just share a little bit about your background and your role at the Denver Department of Public Health or Environment, or DDPHE for short.
Sure. So I am the manager of our Epidemiology and Disease Intervention Program. I have a master's degree in epidemiology, and I'm currently a PhD student in our Epidemiology and Disease Intervention Program. We conduct a variety of investigations and outreach for communicable diseases. So that can include COVID-19, recently monkeypox. That can also include things like Salmonella or E. coli, other common diseases that folks have likely heard of. I've been with the city in this program for a little bit more than a year. This is actually a relatively new program within the city. So me joining the city was the start of this program, and previous to that, the epidemiology work used to be contracted outside. So it's been a fun year diving into COVID and setting up this program and helping meet the needs of the city with communicable diseases. But we do a lot of different things. We work on outbreaks. We work on community outreach and education, providing resources, doing research and analyses into communicable diseases or other health conditions that can affect the city.
So I know we're dedicating today's conversation to talking about monkeypox, though your office deals with much more than that, as you just described. For those who might be a little unfamiliar about the monkeypox virus, could you just give a brief overview of what the virus is?
Yeah, sure. So monkeypox is a virus. It's in the family called orthopox viruses, which is the same family of viruses that smallpox is in. Monkeypox does cause much less severe than smallpox. I know when you hear smallpox, people tend to panic and think of really severe disease. It's spread in a variety of ways. Typically, it's spread through direct contact, so skin-to-skin contact with somebody who has a rash or a lesion that's infectious. It can technically spread through respiratory droplets. So if you think of like coughing and sneezing, the droplets that come out from those types of symptoms. However, our data and research has shown that that is not the most likely way that it is transmitted. So it really is spread typically through direct contact. So that can include sexual contact. It can include just close contact for an extended period of time, hugging, kissing, being in close proximity. That can also include spread through materials that may be contaminated. So if somebody has lesions, say, on their back and chest and they have a shirt on, if somebody else then wore that shirt before it was cleaned, you could potentially have the disease that's spread that way. We say that monkeypox causes mild symptoms, but I know that sounds mild in terms of not requiring hospitalization and not leading to death. So we have had zero deaths due to monkeypox in the United States. And even globally, I think there may only be one death, and that was in Central and Western Africa, where it is endemic. We also have a really low rate of hospitalization. So in Denver, we've had 55 cases of monkeypox that have been reported. And of those 55 cases, we've only had one case that required an inpatient hospitalization stay. The symptoms of monkeypox, every case reports at least one rash or lesion. Sometimes it can look more like a skin bump. Sometimes it can kind of look like a bug bite or a pimple. So there are a variety of ways that the skin infection can show up on different people. Some people also report other symptoms. So they may report what we call prodrome symptoms, which are symptoms before you develop a rash. So those typically include like a fever. You may have some congestion, a cough. But there are some people that don't report any symptoms other than a rash or a lesion on their body. the rash and lesion can be very painful. So that's why we hesitate when saying it causes mild illness, because even if it's not requiring people to be hospitalized, it still can be extremely uncomfortable and extremely painful. And there are people that have to go seek healthcare for pain management purposes specifically.
So in terms of your own role in the city of county in Denver, what does that work look like with monkeypox in particular up to this point?
Yeah, so with any emerging disease, it's a bit of an interesting way that we respond. So similar to COVID, when monkeypox first was detected in Colorado in May, the state health department, so the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, plays a really large role in the response because they're the ones that are getting direct information from CDC and other sources. So since May, we've been working closely with the state, and initially their team was the one that was interviewing people, doing the contact tracing. That includes healthcare worker contact tracing as well as kind of social contacts. But since then, our team has taken over a larger piece of that and is now mostly solely doing those investigations. So what that typically looks like is monkeypox is considered a reportable disease. So that means by law, when somebody tests positive, that positive result has to be reported to either the state or local health department where that person lives. So for a long time, for the first couple of months, the state health department's lab was the only lab in Colorado that was doing testing. Now that has expanded. There are 5 commercial labs. So those are kind of national labs that are doing testing, and they are held to the same laws that they are required to report positive results. So when our team gets a notification of somebody that has tested positive, we will review that information and then we attempt to reach out to that person. So we usually get a phone number or we may get the information for the provider that tested them. So we will try to reach out to that person to do an interview with them. So the purpose of this interview is twofold. So the first thing is we want to understand where somebody could have potentially been infected with the disease so that we can look to see if there are certain outbreaks that are happening or if there are trends occurring in populations that are being infected. We also want to provide resources to people that they need. So if they might need rental assistance, if they might need grocery assistance, if they need further healthcare needs, especially if it's a patient who doesn't have a primary care provider, and helping connect them with other healthcare resources. And then we also want to do contact tracing. So we want to know if they have recently been in contact with anybody, whether it's a healthcare worker or whether it's a friend or a family member, so that we can then reach out to people to notify them of a potential exposure and help provide them resources for where they can get tested or where they might be able to get vaccinated to prevent becoming infected.
I know there's a monkeypox vaccine and that there's been some kind of, it seems like every day there's new updates around both federal response and state availability of vaccines. So where do things stand with vaccines at this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are currently 2 smallpox vaccines, so ACAM2000 and then JYNNEOS or JYNNEOS, I've heard it pronounced multiple ways, that can be effective also for monkeypox. So in Colorado, the state health department here is receiving allotments of the JYNNEOS vaccine from the federal government. The supply is very limited, as you just mentioned, so we're only being given a certain number of doses. And so right now we have several healthcare partners in Denver and throughout the state that have signed up to be a vaccine provider. So they have vaccine on site to be able to use for what we call post-exposure prophylaxis. So that is when, if somebody is exposed to a person who has monkeypox, we can refer them directly to receive that vaccine to either reduce the likelihood that they actually become infected, or if they do become infected, it reduces the severity of their symptoms. We're also giving vaccine as post-exposure prophylaxis to healthcare workers who are treating or testing patients and may be at higher risk of infection, although to date, we still have no healthcare workers that have tested positive from these types of contact. And then the state health department is also holding clinics to give vaccine to people who might be at risk for monkeypox. So that could be people who think that they could have been exposed or people who might fit the criteria for populations that are at the highest risk. It's limited in getting those appointments just because of the number of doses that we currently have available. But the state health department in Denver and other local health departments are working on offering other clinics to the people who might be the most at risk. And we do know the Biden administration does have a plan for increasing the number of doses that are administered to state and local health departments. But sometimes it's a little bit of a waiting game just to see how many doses we get at any given time.
Yeah, I'm curious how you've seen monkeypox affecting queer communities in particular. I mean, I know that, as you mentioned, you know, communities affected most are kind of being prioritized for vaccination. So it seems like right now that's men who have sex with men, as well as gay and bisexual men. But, you know, in particular, how you've seen this impacting LGBTQ communities.
Yeah, so in Denver, of the 55 cases that we've had reported, more than 95% of those have been among gay, bisexual, or other men who have sex with men. And that number lines up with the percentage that we're seeing in the entire state and what we're seeing in other states. So we know that there is a bit of a testing bias because, you know, testing resources are obviously being prioritized for this population, but we do believe that there is truly higher rates of transmission that are occurring in our LGBTQ plus population. One of the things we're really cognizant of in public health is trying not to stigmatize the population because there are a lot of parallels being drawn here to the HIV and AIDS epidemic that started in the 80s and the stigmatization of the messaging that went out and calling it a gay disease. You know, that's a term that we've heard people calling this a gay disease, and we're really trying to spread the message that that's not what this is. So we're trying to balance wanting to share data so that people are equipped with the information they need to understand their personal risk and understand steps they can take to reduce the likelihood of individually becoming infected with monkeypox, but also wanting people to know that anybody can get monkeypox. This isn't a disease that only affects the LGBTQ plus population, although that is where we are seeing a higher number of cases. Monkeypox is also not a sexually transmitted infection in the way that like gonorrhea or syphilis are considered sexually transmitted infections. The reason for that is because historically monkeypox has not been primarily spread through sexual contact. It has just been spread through, in Western and Central Africa, spread through contact with animals that are infected or materials. We've obviously seen a shift in the epidemiology of monkeypox with this outbreak occurring in countries outside of Western and Central Africa, but anybody can be infected. Transmission occurs through close contact, which can include sexual contact, but that's not just limited to this population. So I think one of the things that we're seeing the most is just a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety, a lot of stigma, a lot of shame that people are feeling, especially if they do end up testing positive. And people are even hesitant to get tested. They're hesitant to get vaccinated because of the stigma and of the shame that's being associated with that. And I think it's a real challenge in public health with messaging risk in an appropriate and educational way. So one of the things that my team is also really trying to do is provide a lot of educational materials. So you know, we have posters and palm cards, links to our websites, and we've been trying to reach out to partners to answer questions, you know, provide posters that could be put up in a bathroom or in other accessible areas, making sure that we're sharing information with people in an accessible format. So a lot of materials have had, you know, QR codes on them that link back to a website, but not everybody has a smartphone and can access a QR code. So making sure we also have other materials that are in plain language and have pictures and have graphics that describe, you know, the symptoms that we're looking at, and also provide people information about where they can go to get tested and where they can go to receive a vaccine.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and alongside fellow Outsources producer Elise Matadal, we're talking with Tori Burkett, who serves as the head epidemiologist for the city and county of Denver. You went into such wonderful information about sort of the push and pull around like stigma and the potential for perpetuating harmful narratives about marginalized communities versus like how can we reduce harm and take care of one another in our communities? You know, I know health equity is a priority for your office. And you've mentioned a little bit around like accessibility of language, people that may not have access to technology. But I guess first, for people who might not be aware, how do you think of health equity in the epidemiology sphere? And how are there other ways that you're encountering it, you know, with specifically with the monkeypox virus?
Yeah, so I think when we're considering health equity for epidemiology, one of the main things we look at is data. So how are we collecting data? How are we analyzing our data? And how are we displaying that? And I think we learned a lot of lessons through COVID. I mean, I think there was a focus on health equity even before COVID, but COVID just really put that into overdrive and realizing we can do a lot of harm to certain populations in the way that we present information. If we present too much detail, that can cause stigmatization. If we don't present enough detail, so people aren't educated. So when we're thinking about health equity, we're looking at, you know, I think race and ethnicity is a big one. How are we categorizing race and ethnicity, and how are we displaying that data? Are we displaying it too broad so that populations don't have the information they need, or are we getting kind of too into the details there? Looking at even the way that gender and sex, that information, how is that collected? You know, in a lot of case report forms for certain diseases, the way that that question is asked is very binary. Are you male or female? And that's not the best way to collect that information, as we know. There's a lot of other terms and ways that people identify that we need to understand so that we can truly understand how these diseases are impacting certain populations. So that is one effort in how we collect sex and gender information that has been changing over time, to not just limit it to those two options, because that's not the best way to collect that information. With health equity, we also consider, how are we providing education and community outreach? And are we providing appropriate materials to certain populations? So I think in this instance with monkeypox, one of the messages that we've seen that has gone out there is just telling our LGBTQ+ population, stop having sex. And that's not a great message. We've learned through HIV and AIDS and other conditions that abstinence is not the way that we're going to stop diseases from spreading. And you're just perpetuating stigma in that consideration. So shifting that message to not say don't have sex, but instead say, here are the things that you can do to personally protect yourself. Here's the information that you need to make personal decisions about your risk and what the risk may be in your community. So also shifting the message there. So it's not perfect by any means. I think we're learning a lot as we go, and health equity has been a huge focus of our department, and partnering with community-based organizations and other people in the community to understand, what are we missing? Where are the gaps? And realizing that there are things that we're missing that we need to do better on. And just having conversations, especially interviews like this, you know, this is the way that we can better understand what we might be missing and understand what our community needs.
It seems like we saw this with COVID too. Things develop so quickly, and people get information from a huge, wide variety of sources, including like informal conversation, social media, you know. So I'm curious if you've noted, or what you've noticed in terms of misinformation about monkeypox, and you know, things for listeners to watch out for, perhaps in terms of maybe media literacy and how to be discerning in the information they're getting.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest pieces of misinformation that we've seen with monkeypox is that if you don't identify as part of the LGBTQ+ population, that you can't get it. And we have cases in Denver and in Colorado that are not men, or are not men who identify as gay or bisexual, or who have sex with other men. So there are people who are missing opportunities for testing and diagnosis because they think, well, I'm not part of that population, I can't possibly have monkeypox. So that's one thing that we're really trying to spread awareness about, how monkeypox spreads. It's not, it's just through direct contact. So you don't have to be gay or bisexual. You don't have to be a man to become infected with monkeypox. It's a neutral virus. It doesn't care who the host is. It's just, you know, if somebody has it and has close contact with somebody else, that's a good way to get it. I think also making sure that people are aware about the vaccine that is available, even though it's limited in doses, the availability is increasing over time. And if somebody is in this population and thinks they could be at risk, we want to encourage them to consider vaccination. It's a pretty low risk vaccine. It's pretty similar if you compare it to like the COVID vaccine, or if you compare it to I think the meningitis vaccine is one that's also very similar in kind of how it works. But there's nothing wrong. There's no shame in getting vaccinated to reduce your likelihood of infection or reduce the severity of symptoms if you do become infected. We also want to make sure that people are aware of other resources that are out there. So medical evaluations, this is also an opportunity. If you do have a rash or other skin bump, even if it's not monkeypox, you know, connecting with the healthcare system, because we have found that some people are even identifying other infections. So potentially like syphilis or herpes or gonorrhea, they're getting tested for monkeypox and then finding out it's something else. But that's also a great way for people to connect with the healthcare system and get the resources they need, get the treatment they need, regardless of what condition they're facing.
One thing related to misinformation and just like social media that I'm hoping you can address. I have seen, and you've talked about, you could get it from materials. I've seen some cautious posts about like not thrift shopping during this time. I'm hoping you can address that. Would that be like over-assessing risk or under-assessing risk?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have gotten that question before. So monkeypox is a virus. If you wash, if you use a washer and dryer with, you know, normal laundry detergent, that is an effective way of killing this virus. So thrift shopping in and of itself wouldn't be considered a high risk thing, as long as the facilities that are selling those materials are making sure that when they get donations or when they have people drop things off, that they're washing those materials first, which that's a usual protocol that places like thrift shop has. They usually clean all of those things first before they put them out. So I wouldn't be concerned about going thrift shopping myself, but it's never hurtful to ask facilities what their protocols are and how they handle those materials when things are donated or dropped off.
I wonder, you know, as people continue to look for information, and you mentioned resources, we talked about vaccines, where are you driving people to in terms of sources of information that they can be reliably assured that, you know, this is trustworthy?
Yeah. So on Denver.gov, we have a monkeypox page that has been live now for a few weeks. So we have some local information on there. The State Health Department's monkeypox webpage, so CDPHE, their webpage, they even have a list of testing locations, not just in Denver. So obviously our website is a little bit Denver specific because that's the population that we serve. But even if you live, you know, in Boulder, Jefferson County, any surrounding counties, there's information for testing and vaccine resources on that website. CDC's webpage has a lot of educational materials, a lot of flyers. They have information even for specific populations or settings. So they have some guidance for congregate settings. So that could include something like a homeless shelter or a long-term care facility or a correctional facility. There's some really great disinfection guidance that's available on our website, on the state's website, and on CDC's website, that talks about different household cleaners that can be used and how you use them to be effective against monkeypox. So I think those would be my three recommendations, would be Denver's website, CDPHE's website, and then CDC's website for the best information and guidance.
As you think about kind of, you know, and as we begin to wrap up our conversation here, obviously you don't have a crystal ball, but just, you know, as you think about your own moving into the fall and maybe even the next year, are there certain kind of priorities or concerns you're anticipating as we see things potentially evolving with the monkeypox virus?
So as we head into the fall, because monkeypox can cause respiratory symptoms and technically there is a risk of spread through respiratory droplets, we know that we see higher rates of respiratory diseases in the fall and winter. So if you think about influenza, or if you think about RSV or even COVID, you know, we see higher rates there. So I think our biggest message is just for people to really assess their personal risk. As we head into the fall, for even considering COVID risk, you know, masking is a really effective way to reduce spread of a variety of respiratory diseases. And so when we have higher rates of community transmission, consider wearing face coverings in indoor public settings, you know, talking to your friends and family and your contacts. If you have questions, just being open with people, checking our website or the state's website for information. Monkeypox, as you've mentioned, it's an evolving response. And the way that we're seeing this disease spread is different than how we've seen it spread in the past. So we're also still learning. And there may be new information that comes out and new recommendations that we have in a couple of months as we've been able to analyze our data better. So just keep an eye out for information and recommendations from public health. We really do have our community's best interests at heart. And when we have information about ways to reduce the spread, we want to share that information with our community as quickly as possible, and trying to put that out on social media and other avenues. So just kind of keep an eye out and don't hesitate to reach out if you have questions. You know, reach out to your local health department, reach out to your doctor and ask them those questions. And people can typically get back to you with pretty good answers or direct you to locations of where you can find answers for those questions.
You've been listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins. I'm Sean Kenny, and I'm joined by Outsources producer Elise Matadol for a conversation with Tori Burkett, who serves as the Epidemiology Program Manager at the Denver Department of Public Health and Environment. Tori, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you all. This is a great avenue to connect with our LGBTQ plus population, so I'm so happy I was able to be here and chat.
For more information about the monkeypox virus, vaccines, and resources provided by the Denver Department of Public Health and Environment, you can go online to our website at news.kgnu.org and click on Outsources under the Shows and Features tab. There you can find links with more information to some of the resources we've talked about today. As always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about tonight's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org.